All right.
Thank you. Be seated. We've already made the introductions and said good morning, but I haven't said good morning to you. Good morning, counsel. Thank you for being here. Before we begin with your case, I'll have the clerk call the case, please.
The court will now call Bryson Mead versus the State of Texas. May it please the court, Ms. Lori Casper will argue for appellant. Ms. Katie Sprayberry will argue for appellee.
You may begin.
Thank you. Chief Justice Sutter, Justice Basil, Justice Womack. This case is about the difference between duty and authority. Drivers on Texas highways have a duty to obey traffic laws, a duty to report accidents. The transportation code applies almost exclusively to highways. And unlike what we consider highways, I-35, et cetera, a highway is any road that is supported by taxpayer money, either a city road, county road, or a state road. For example, Commerce Street, right out in front of this law school, is a highway under the transportation code. Because it's a highway, the transportation code offenses apply. The transportation code occasionally will apply to another type of road other than a highway, but not in this case. Under section 550.025 of the transportation code, there are three conditions precedent that must occur before a driver has a duty to report. One is that the property damaged has to be either a fixture, a structure, or highway landscaping. Two, it has to be property that is adjacent to a highway. And three, the damage has to be at least $200. If those three conditions precedent are met, then the driver has a duty to report the accident to either the property owner or whoever is in charge of the property. Once that duty exists, so the three conditions precedent trigger the duty, then if the driver does not report, then the driver has committed an offense. The driver has committed a Class B misdemeanor.
Is there any controversy in this case if we were looking at 550.250 that Mr. Mead did not commit an offense?
Absolutely, Justice Basil. I was about to get to that. In this case, he did not commit an offense because my client was driving on a private road. So one of the three conditions precedent that the property be adjacent to a highway was not met. Because there was no highway involved, he did not have a duty to report. So by failing to report, he did not commit a crime.
And the court's findings of fact and conclusions of law bear that out, don't they? There's really not any controversy there either.
Absolutely. The state and the trial court both agreed that the road on which my client was driving was private. Johnson v. State, which is a recent court case out of the Court of Criminal Appeals, said that the gravamen of 550.025 is the failure to report. It's not the highway condition precedent. It's not the value condition precedent. It is the duty, the failure to report once you have that duty. That case was about charging restitution. And the appellate in that case argued that he should not have to pay restitution for the property he damaged because the crime he committed was failing to report, not striking the fixture. And the Court of Criminal Appeals says that's absolutely right. The crime is the failure to report, not the hitting the road with its celebrity. So if we take an example out on Commerce Street, let's say a driver is driving on that street, which is a highway, hits the trees on the corner here, which I would guess probably belong to the city of Fort Worth, and then drove off and failed to report it, then that driver would have committed an offense. But if the same driver is driving on a private road, paid for not by taxpayer money, but paid for by private citizens, he has no duty to report that he causes that accident. The other part of this is about authority. So law enforcement officers have an authority to enforce those traffic laws on Texas highways. However, they have no authority to enforce traffic laws on private roads. And this court has said in State v. Ballman that exact thing. In Ballman, a driver was leaving a parking lot on Hewlin Street and did not use a turn signal to turn onto Hewlin. And this court said that that traffic stop was unlawful because you cannot commit a traffic offense on private property. And so the court threw out the conviction for DWI because the stop was bad. There are two Texas Attorney General opinions that also address that traffic offenses do not apply on private property. One was from 95 and one was from 99. This particular statute, duty to report, that is at issue in this case, was passed in 1947. It has always contained the three conditions precedent. It's been amended four times since 1947. They have amended the dollar value. The legislature has amended the type of structures that can be struck to qualify. It has never amended or touched the highway requirement since 1947. When we're talking about authority to enforce traffic laws, law enforcement officers also have an authority to investigate accidents. And that's where 550.041 comes into play. 550.041 is an investigation statute that expanded the authority of officers to investigate private property, which they did not have the right to do. And then after they investigate, they can file what's called justifiable charges according to the statute. And it doesn't matter whether those charges appear in 550, appear somewhere else in the transportation code, or appear in another code altogether. For example, a person who strikes a fixture adjacent to the highway and is subsequently arrested for DWI, DWI doesn't have to occur on a highway. DWI can occur in any public place.
Well, subchapter D of chapter 550 requires officers to write reports investigating certain accidents. Doesn't subchapter C, which is 550.041, simply provide for that power? Say you're supposed to investigate things so you can write these reports.
Absolutely. And then after you write the report, you file a justifiable charge. In other words, the charge has to meet the evidence that you have. The elements of the offense have to be met. The state argues in its brief that the authority to investigate statute completely removes that highway condition precedent from 550.025 because of one case that the state cited. They cited dicta from Alonzo v. State, where the court said that 550.041 expanded the authority of officers. It used that word expanded. And the state grabbed onto that and said that because 550.041 expands the authority of officers to investigate, it also somehow removes that highway condition precedent from 550.025, and that's just not the law. Alonzo was driving on a highway. It's not even related to this case. Alonzo complained that the officer detained him without having a reasonable suspicion that the dollar value of the investigation, the accident, would be $1,000. That's the threshold in the 550.041. So Alonzo is not akin to this case at all. But that's what the state is using to support their position, is the dicta from that case. The state is also arguing that the two statutes, 550.025, the duty to report, and the 550.041, the investigation statute, are in pari materia. Now, the state provides absolutely no support for that statement. They just state that they're in pari materia, and because of that, they say the 550.041 controls over 550.025. In pari materia requires that the statutes have the same purpose. They have the same legislative intent. And they obviously didn't. One was passed in 1947 and it relates to drivers and their duty. The other was passed in 1967 and relates to officers and their authority. They're not alike at all. The only thing is they appear in the same section of the transportation code. However, even if they were in pari materia, the rule in pari materia says that if two statutes are in pari materia, then the specific controls over the general. Well, in this case, the specific is located in 550.025.
Let me tell you, my quandary here is how 550.041 defines an offense.
I don't believe it defines an offense at all. It says there is no offense in 550.041. It is strictly the authority of law enforcement officers to investigate. There's no offense there. They can file justifiable charges in the transportation code or outside of the code once they investigate. But it is, there is no crime. You can't violate 550.041 if you're a driver. It doesn't apply to drivers at all. So if the two statutes are in pari materia, then 550.025, the duty to report, controls over the investigation statute, because the investigation statute applies to all roads and some parking lots, and 550.025 applies strictly to property adjacent to highways.
Do you think 550.041 is ambiguous or unambiguous in its language?
I don't believe it's ambiguous, Justice Babb. Myself, that was what I argued in my brief. I think it's very clear of what justifiable charges mean. Those would be charges justified under the law. I think the state's interpretation is pretty much out there. No court has ever considered the state's position before that we can find any record of. But I believe it's not ambiguous. However, if this court were to find it ambiguous, there is some kind of strange language in there, but I think it's easily resolved. If it was ambiguous, the court would look back to the legislative history and they would see that the duty to report statute was passed in 1947 and it involved driver's duty to report. The authority to investigate statute was passed in 1967 and it is strictly about investigation of accidents. Those two statutes are different. They have different purposes. They have different, I suppose an officer might be able to violate 550.041 by not, I don't even think anybody can violate 550.041, but a driver can certainly violate 550.025. But 041 has nothing to do with drivers. They only have to do with officers. When 550.041 was passed, if you look back at the history from 1967, and I'm going to quote from the actual legislative record, it says, in order for police officers to more efficiently discharge their duties related to the investigation of motor vehicle accidents, it is believed that they should be empowered to go upon private property, which is commonly used by the public, such as shopping center parking lots, those owned and operated by the state or a political subdivision, et cetera. The passage of this bill will so empower police officers. But that's what 550.041 is about. It's about the power and the authority of police officers to investigate accidents. That has nothing to do with the permission and the duty under 550.025. As I said before, there are no cases in which the court has interpreted 550.041 as removing that highway requirement, but that's the state's position. There is no case holding that a person such as my client has a duty to report an accident where property is damaged adjacent to a private road. No cases in Texas. I'll reserve the rest of my time. Thank you.
Thank you. Response?
State concedes in this case that this is definitely not a case that has been considered by really any courts in the state, which I think is why we're here today having this argument. Our position is that 550.041 is a bit ambiguous.
There's no question that Mr. Meade did not violate 550.025 because he did not run over a structure, fixture, landscaping adjacent to a publicly maintained way.
Respectfully, sir, I disagree. I believe that 041 expands that authority.
That's not my question. My question is, if we look at strictly at the language of 550.025, he did not transgress the language of that statute by failing to report the collision.
Read by itself, strictly, that is true.
Okay.
Read in isolation. Yes, we do agree with that.
So when Mr. Meade was sitting in the front yard of this house in his car in Pecan Plantation, if he'd taken out his phone and searched the statutes of the state of Texas, where would he have found the duty to report that collision?
Setting aside that people don't usually do that, I think he would have found a duty that he should report that he has damaged somebody's property.
I'm not talking about a moral duty. I'm talking about making it a criminal offense not to report to the homeowner that he'd run through something in their yard.
I think reading 025 in isolation, if you're reading his statutes in isolation, I don't think you would have found it.
Okay, well, tell me what statute imposes a duty on him to report a collision adjacent to a privately maintained way.
Our position is that if 550.041 expands 550.025.
How did it create an offense until the officer decided what constituted a justifiable charge after the fact?
Let me ask you this. If he'd been driving out in the middle of a field, not anywhere near a roadway, public or private, and he hit the broadside of somebody's barn, Would it be justified to charge him with failure to report under your theory?
Yes, I believe so.
Under what statute?
Under reading a combination of 550.025 and 550.041.
How does 550.041 define an offense?
By itself, it does not. But it is couched in language that reads as an exception to some of the limitations in the prior duties set forth in Chapter 5.
It says an officer can file a justifiable charge. So that's just an offense that the officer conjures up after the fact, if there's no other statute that makes that a criminal violation?
I think it can be an offense that the officer just conjured up. I do think you have to keep it within the bounds of these Chapter 550 offenses.
Okay,
but you can change the elements of the offenses.
I think it allows those elements to be expanded slightly under certain circumstances. In the case of 025, I think when the damage exceeds the value of $1,000, it allows him to file that as a justifiable charge, even if the accident occurred off of a private road as opposed to a public road.
Would the rule of lenity apply here? You said it's somewhat ambiguous. If it's ambiguous, we apply a rule of lenity, don't we? Doesn't the tie go to the defendant, not to the state?
It could be interpreted that way. I think it is. We do make it very clear in a general legal terms and in general moral terms that when you damage somebody's property, by accident, you should notify them of it so that they can be made whole.
Well, we might all agree. We might all agree with that. But where's that a crime when you're not on a public? You're not in a public place when you haven't met the elements of the offense as stated in the code.
I think that is where 041 comes in. I think it allows it to be
So the officers can just make up the elements as they feel justifiable. We can give the authority, we're going to give law enforcement that much authority to just add elements, subtract elements as they see as justifiable.
I think 041 gives them carte blanche to just modify any element to any extent that they want. It with regard to property, it says, first of all, that the property damage must be an apparent extent of $1,000 or more. And second, that whether or not the collision occurred on property to which this chapter applies.
It uses the term justifiable charge. And you're saying the charge is not something that we look somewhere else in the law to find. It's a charge that the officer conceives. And how does that, comport with the definition of a criminal offense in Section 1.03 of the Penal Code? And how is that not constitute a blatant due process violation by not letting someone know what, giving them reasonable notice of what criminal conduct is? You drew the short straw.
Nor did I break the brief. We do our best in law to give people reasonable notice of what they can be charged with. From a practical perspective, very few, if any, citizens are reading the Penal Code or any other code of law to specifically ensure that they follow every aspect of it in the same way that we as lawyers are familiar with the Penal Code.
But that's what controls whether or not this is a criminal offense.
And I think 041 can allow it to be a criminal offense. At a glancing reading of the transportation code, it would appear that it is not. But we often in the law have to do more than a glancing reading and have to look at multiple statutes to determine exactly the parameters of an offense. And, you know, we believe that these two statutes are in peri materia. They exist in the same chapter of the transportation code. They both deal with collisions, and as I stated previously, they are 550.041 has language in it that captures it as an exception to some of the limitations.
It just says it can file justifiable charges on property, even though that's not the property that's 550 specifically covers.
Yes, but
And
to limit it to officers only being able to go investigate on that property.
But don't they need the power to investigate to carry out their duties under subchapter D with respect to the reports they write?
I think they frequently do have the authority. I mean, most people do not see damage on private property and say, oh, that's on private property. I can't call the law enforcement to investigate, regardless of how the damage occurs. They realize damage has been done to their property and they call law enforcement and they ask law enforcement to investigate. And law enforcement is either invited onto the property or law enforcement has some sort of exigent circumstances that allow them to enter on private property to investigate any manner of damages and offenses.
And no one's arguing they don't have the power to investigate here. Question is whether or not he committed a criminal offense.
But it doesn't make sense for 041 only to expand an officer's authority to investigate, because an officer doesn't really need a special statute to expand his authority to investigate.
Well, we don't know why the legislature does what it does from time to time. We just look to its plain language. And you're asking us to say that the word justifiable charge allows the officer to create a post hoc criminal offense.
But don't think it just allows the officer to just create an offense. I think he is still limited to, under 041, I think he's still limited to those offenses under Section 550.
And Mr. Meade did not violate Section 550.025, which is the only statute that he was, I mean, he didn't violate. He tell me in subchapter B of section of chapter 550, what statute he violated.
I think he violated 025. I think 041 expands not just the officer's authority to investigate, but the property, but it does eliminate that highway element by stating that not on property to which this chapter applies.
Just because it uses the word justifiable, it's the officer's discretion that it's justifiable to do this under the circumstances.
Ms. Casper discusses that it would be absurd for someone to hit someone's private property off of a private road and drive off and not let them know about it. I believe the opposite is absurd. I believe it's very justifiable to penalize somebody for damaging another person.
You're asking about a moral. You're asking us for a moral judgment here. That's, again, I'm asking you about where do the laws, the state of Texas, define this as a criminal offense?
I think 041 makes it a criminal offense.
Because it allows the officer to decide what's justifiable after the fact.
Or are you saying that it allows the officer to just dispense with the on public, on the highway?
I think
element.
It allows him to dispense with the on the highway element of 025. When the damage is $1,000 or more, because it doesn't just say file any charges you want to, it says file justifiable charges without regard to whether this it occurs on property to which this chapter applies. And so I think that justifies the officer in removing the highway element, but not.
How did Mr. Meade know that? That's what I want to know. How did Mr. Meade know that he was supposed to make that report?
I think Mr. Meade knew he was supposed to make that report the same way that everybody knows they're supposed to make. And if you ask 100 people on the street, I don't think any of them would reasonably believe they weren't supposed to report an accident, regardless of what kind of street they were on or the dollar value. I don't think most of them would know, oh, well, it's a Class B offense if I don't report it if it's $200 or more, but not if it's less than $200. He knows that he is supposed to report when he does damage to somebody's property. And I disagree with Ms. Casper that 041, if we do find that 025 and 041 are in peri materia, I disagree that 025 is not the specific one. I think 041 is the more specific one because it specifically creates an exception to the prior statutes in Chapter 550. Our position is it's absurd that private property owners should be penalized simply for living off of a private road as opposed to a public road.
Maybe the legislature needs to address that.
I wish they would. I wish they would clarify the situation. I think it is a little bit ambiguous, but I think it's clear enough for our purposes here today. But I would always appreciate it if they would make things more clear.
Thank you.
No, thank you. Anything else, Ms. Casper?
I think I've rest. The points that Ms. Bravery raised and that the court raised Only the legislature can add those subtract elements to a statute or create a statute. Law enforcement does not have the power to add or subtract elements. That is a very dangerous precedent to set, that law enforcement officers can suddenly dispense with an element of a crime just because they think it's justifiable. So they think it's not fair to the property owner based on the private road. A trial court cannot add or subtract elements to a statute. Respectfully, this court cannot add or subtract an element from a statute. Only the legislature can. We argued from the outset that there was insufficient evidence to convict my client of this crime because, first of all, it's not a crime at all under the transportation code. He had no legal duty to report, according to 550.025. He might have had a moral duty to report, but that's not something you can deprive a person of their liberty for violating a moral duty, only if it's a crime. He doesn't even have, according to Johnson v. State, he doesn't even have a legal obligation to reimburse the property owner for the damage. Even if, let's say that the Pecan Plantation was a highway and he failed to report and he caused over $200 of the damage to the lady's shrubs, he's not even under a legal duty to pay restitution for that. It's not about what's fair to the private property owner. It's about what is fair to a criminal defendant, to someone being held to a criminal standard in this state. And you simply cannot allow a law enforcement officer or anyone else to modify a statute at their own whim. I would respectfully ask this court to hold in favor of the appellant that we didn't, there was insufficient evidence in this case for the trial court to convict him of the duty to report under 550.025.
What's the disposition that you think we should, the appropriate disposition?
That's a very good question.
A judgment of acquittal?
That would be my favorite. That would,
or
be
should
my...
it be a reverse and remand?
You can't reverse a remand because if you find that the evidence was insufficient, the reason you're finding it was insufficient is because the elements were not met. You can't retry this case and change Ravenswood Road and the Pecan Plantation into a public highway. It's just not going to happen.
You have a double jeopardy violation.
Absolutely. This, the trial court was wrong, the state was wrong, and this court needs to rectify that so that no one else gets this idea that they can allow law enforcement officers and the state to arbitrarily change statutes on them. If there's no more questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate your arguments. You've been very helpful to us. And this case is now submitted.